start there. We began last Wednesday night. We were studying through about the tabernacle of Moses out of the Old Testament. And a lot of times when we read the Old Testament, we come across a lot of different things in there. We don't understand why God took so much time dealing with a particular subject. You know, the book of Exodus is the story of the exodus of the people of God, the nation of Israel, out of Egypt. They were held in bondage for 430 years in bondage. And God heard their cry. I'm glad to know that God hears our cries. And whenever God comes to deliver, we're going to be delivered. Amen. And you know the story of how God raised up Moses to deliver the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He went in before Pharaoh, and we pick up the story in Exodus chapter 5 tonight. We're going to look at just one verse of Scripture. Then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 25. And notice here in Exodus chapter 5, it says verse number 1, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.'" Now, the reason that God saves us, He brings us out so He can bring us in. He brings us out so He can bring us to Himself. We were, in time past, children of darkness. We were the children of Satan in time past. But thank God, He saved us, and now He brings us to Himself. The whole purpose of God saving us is that we might have fellowship with Him and have a relationship with Him. We don't get saved by religion. Religion will not save you. Religion will damn you. But thank God, redemption will build a relationship, give you a relationship between you and God the Father. Amen. So look now. He told him, said, "I want you to let my people go, that they may go out into the wilderness and hold a feast unto me." Now look in Exodus 25. We began here last Wednesday night. I'm convinced a lot of times when God's people read the Bible, they get a little frustrated because they come through and they read all of this stuff that goes on in there, and especially something, the subject like we're studying on the tabernacle. They read about God telling Moses to rear up these boards and these sockets and these and all of these fillets and all of these tenons and all of this, and put all of this in this fashion and rear it up in the wilderness and all this stuff. And you read all of that stuff and you wonder what on earth is going on. In the Bible, God spends two chapters telling us about Him creating the whole entire universe. But He deals 50 chapters on this subject of the tabernacle. And it's a very intricately designed structure that God gave instruction to Moses when he was in the Mount 40 days and 40 nights. And he gave Moses a pattern to go by. We looked last Wednesday night on why did God have them to build a tabernacle. One of the reasons was that it was to promote fellowship. He said, I want, notice in chapter 25, verse number, we'll look at this quickly again. In chapter 25, verse number 8, he said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." The reason God had Moses to have those Jews build that tabernacle out there, and it was used for 500 years by the Jews, and I think it was like in the book of Exodus, it's recorded that Moses took the tabernacle and reared it up 17 different times. And whenever God would have them to erect that tabernacle, then the pillar of fire would go up from it, meaning that God was in the midst of His people. And God wanted fellowship with His people. I'm glad that He does. Ever since the garden, God has desired fellowship with us. We know that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and that fellowship was broken. But God had other provisions made. And the grandest provision that He ever had made was Jesus Christ. And He's the reason that we can have fellowship with God tonight. Only through the shed blood, only through Jesus Christ, can we have fellowship with God. But in the Old Testament, God had them to rear up this sanctuary. Brother Bobby, if you'll put If you will, put a picture up there for me, number five, off that first slide, number five. And I just want you to get a picture tonight of the general layout of this thing. That is a picture. I wish we had a little darker light, but I'll try to show you the best that I can tonight. That is a picture. Right there is that Shekinah glory, that glory of God that would go up from this tabernacle. This, we're going to look at this tonight. This is called the courtyard. This a linen fence that was erected all the way around it. It was 75 feet wide and 150 feet long. And we're going to look at some articles that God had them to put in all of this. Around this thing, all around that, you can't make it out real well, but were the tents of the nation of Israel where they would dwell. And they had a certain place that they were to dwell. This was the eastern side, and it was always to be set up that way. It could never be set up another way. It couldn't be just thrown up any particular direction. This gate had to be set at the eastern side. This would be the south. This would be the north. This would be the west. And that gate right there always had to be at the eastern side. And I'll bring out more about that for the reason, the purpose of that. God, this was the only structure that's ever been built that was so made so perfect that it never needed any kind of alterations. It never needed any kind of restructuring. It never needed any redesign. It fulfilled the will of God for the nation of Israel. And you say, well, why should we study something like the tabernacle? Well, we're going to find out that everything about that tabernacle points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, the layout about it, everything is going to show us that Jesus Christ was going to come to be the deliverer of His people. I mean, from the eastern gate, the layout of it, the structuring of it, we're going to see that everything was pointing to the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Luke 24, two guys were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus pulled up alongside them, and for a while they didn't know who He was. He went inside, He broke bread with them, and it said, in the beginning at Moses, and in all the Scriptures, He expounded the things concerning Himself. There was no New Testament written whenever He talked to them in Luke 24. All that He had was from Genesis to Malachi. And in all of that, wouldn't you love to have been in that meeting that day to hear the very Son of God open this Bible, the Old Testament, and every place He turned, He said, see there, that's Me. See there, that's Me. You say, how can that be? Jesus Christ said, I am the true bread which cometh down from heaven, referencing the manna. He said, you remember the manna that was out there in the Old Testament? He said, I am the bread of life that's come down to man. He told him one time in John chapter 3 when he was with Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said this, as Moses, referring back to the Old Testament, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so should the Son of Man be lifted up. He said, you know, when Moses lifted it up, that was a picture of Me. So everything in the Old Testament points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament is Jesus Christ unfolded. The Old Testament is Jesus Christ enfolded. Whenever you understand that about the Scriptures, when you read through, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you give me a psalm, and I'll show you Jesus Christ in that psalm. If you start reading the Bible looking for Jesus in it, it'll make it so much more interesting to you when you do study the Word of God. Now, give me layout number 13, Brother Bobby. I want them to see this. So God told them, He said, now I want you to build Me a tabernacle, and I want you to lay this thing out in a particular way. Here is that eastern gate that we're going to look at. This is the what's known as the outer courtyard, all of this. These are boards and sockets and fillets and all of that they were to erect and put up. It was made out of white linen. All of that entire outer shell there was white. Whenever somebody would come up to that, all the way around it, they could not see into it. The way that it was set up, that that fence, that outer courtyard all the way around it, was 7.5 feet high, which is interesting. It was 5 cubits high. They say that a cubit was generally from the elbow to the four fingertips, about 18 inches is what they say that a cubit is. So it was 5 cubits high, which made that fence 7.5 feet high. Any man that came up to it could not see over it. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What was in this thing right there would be where the glory, the very presence of God was. When somebody would walk around this thing all the way around it, they could not see over that because it's a picture of salvation. This whole layout of the tabernacle is going to teach us how we can approach God. Now, this is the eastern side. Now, this veil right here that they put up, it was set on that eastern side, and it was the only door into that tabernacle. It was the only way in. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. There's not but one way into heaven. There's not many ways. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when somebody would come up there to this tabernacle and say that they had a sin offering that they wanted to offer, they would have to come in through the eastern gate. And the very first thing that they would come to would be this thing called a brazen altar. This brazen altar, if you will, come over here with me to Exodus 27. I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 27 and verse number 1. It said, and thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. So this altar, this brazen altar right here, the very first piece of furniture that they would have in there was called the brazen altar. They would go out, they would cut a tree down. A life had to be cut down. A living tree had to be cut down. The life would go out of that tree. They would take and fashion that tree into boards, and then they would overlay those boards with brass. Now, in the Word of God, this is interesting. In the Word of God, brass always pictures judgment. When you see Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, it said that His feet were as burning brass. And He's walking in the midst of the 7 churches, judging the 7 churches in Revelation chapter number 1 and 2. And so, brass is always a picture of judgment. On this altar, this brazen altar, is where they would offer all of the different sacrifices. They had burnt sacrifices, meat sacrifices, peace sacrifices. They had sin sacrifices, sacrifice for trespass. They offered bullocks. They offered oxen, sheep, lambs, goats, turtle doves, and young pigeons. And every Jewish person that wanted to have atonement for their sin would bring the appropriate offering up to that priest at that brazen altar. And that priest would then kill the animal, a picture of Jesus Christ, and drain the blood, sprinkle it on that grating of that, and then offer that animal up on the grating. There was a perpetual fire that always burned in that. And listen to this. It was 5 by 5. 5 in the Word of God. A lot of people say that it's a number of grace, but 5 in the Word of God is a picture of death. You'll read it over and over again in the Old Testament, and they stuck him up under the 5th rib, and he died. How many wounds did Jesus Christ have on the cross? He had 5. 1 in each hand, 1 in each foot, and 1 in his side. 5 wounds, and Jesus Christ died. This is a picture of the judgment of God. It was shittim wood. It was just an ordinary tree. It had life, but then it was cut down. And then it was overlaid with the judgment of God upon it. This brazen altar is a picture of Jesus Christ with his 5 wounds. This was the very first place that anybody would come to when they would walk into the tabernacle. They would not bypass this. They could not bypass that. They could go no further. They could not enter into the courtyard at all until they came to that brazen altar and did business at that altar. May I say this tonight, that we cannot get to God unless we go by Calvary. We cannot get to God unless we go by Jesus Christ. We cannot get to God unless we go through the judgment that Jesus has already offered for us. So then they would come here and they would offer their sacrifices for their sins. Then the next thing was this piece of furniture right here. It was called a brazen laver. And I want you to watch this with me. This is so wonderful. Look in Exodus chapter 30 with me tonight. Exodus 30. Exodus chapter 30. See, when you study this and somebody lays this out for you, the next time you read through this, when you're reading through your Bible, you'll start seeing some things and understanding why God had them to lay it out the way He did. So somebody comes in, they want to get to God. They come in through this eastern gate, through this veil here, and the first thing that they have to come to is that brazen altar and deal with sin. That's how we get saved. We don't bypass the cross and get saved. We have to deal with sin. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for our sins. But then once a person gets saved, then there's this brazen laver. And let's read about this just a minute. In this brazen laver, Exodus 30, verse number 17, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so shall they wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his seed throughout their generations. Now, notice this with me. They were to make this brazen altar, this altar or laver out of brass, and they were to fill it with water. But there was something else that they were to do. Look in Exodus 38 with me. There was another article, another thing that they were to do with this brazen laver. Look in Exodus 38. Verse number 8, he says, and he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling. Women always have got a mirror. You can always count on a woman to have a mirror with her. How many men in here tonight's got a mirror on them? How many women in here's got a mirror on them tonight? Well, see there, I told you the truth tonight. It said, the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So on this brazen laver, they made it of brass, put water in it, but they put mirrors in the bottom of it. Now think about this. Whenever those priests would go in and out of this part of the tabernacle, what they would do is they would have to come from the altar here. They would have to come and wash themselves before they would come in here and get closer to God. This is a picture, the brazen laver is a picture of what we have tonight once we get saved to keep us clean. The Word of God. Did you know every time you pick up this Bible and begin reading this Bible, it reads you? It looks back at you. It's a reflection of you. Look in James chapter 1 with me tonight. James chapter 1. This is the only book ever been written that when you read it, it reads you. James chapter 1. This book will tell you the truth about yourself. That's why a lot of God's people don't read it. Amen. James chapter 1, look in verse number 22. Well, let's begin in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He said, for if any man, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word of God tells us that this is a mirror. Whenever we read it, it reads us and it tells us the truth about us. I'm glad I've got something in life that'll tell me the truth about me. And every time you read this Bible, it reflects, it shows you the real you. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to the word of God. Now, how does somebody that gets saved at the brazen altar, how do we keep clean? We live in a dirty world. We're living in sinful flesh. How do we keep clean in this life? We keep clean by staying in the Word of God. This book cleanses our minds. It cleanses our spirits. It cleanses our thoughts. It cleanses us from all evil. This book is a must in every child of God's life. Without it, you'll not stay clean in the eyes of God. So the second article that somebody would come up to was this brazen laver. This brazen laver is the most important part of a child of God's life, to stay in communion and in fellowship with God. We have to stay in the book so that we can keep clean before the eyes of God. All right, now, so somebody would come in the eastern gate. You know what was at the very opposite end of this? Inside of this place, this area here is called the outer courtyard. They could come in, Jews could come in here, and they could go in here. But only those priests, those Levitical priests, could go into what was called this area, the holy place. Inside of this, there was another veil that they would have to go through, just like this veil. They would have to go in here. Here would be a golden candlestick on this side. This would be a table of showbread on this side. And this would be an altar of incense right here. What here was another veil. This veil separated any of this from this section called the Holy of Holies. This was the most holy place that there was, because this is where the Ark of the Covenant, you know, Indiana Jones trying to find it. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. Inside of that ark was the pot of manna, was a table of the written commandments of God, and Aaron's rod that budded. And so they put this ark here with cherubim and the mercy seat on it. And only one time a year, the high priest was allowed to go in there. And he would go in there not without blood, but he would take the blood that was shed of an animal and go in there and put it on the mercy seat. Now, according to Jewish tradition, this is not found in the Bible, they said that what they would do would tie a rope around the high priest's waist. If he went in there and God would not accept their offering, he would die, because he'd be in the presence of God and God would not accept their sin offering. And they would have to pull him out, because nobody but the high priest could go in this area. And we'll get into that more as we study this thing. I'm just giving you a general overview of the importance of this. So a Jew could come out here. They would then the priest could come in here. This candlestick was always to be burning. Out here in the outer courtyard, sunlight gave it its light. But this was covered by all four different layers of skin, and there was no light in there except for this candlestick. And this candlestick is a picture of the Spirit of God. Over here on the very opposite side was this table of showbread. And this is interesting. This table of showbread, it was all of these articles out here are brass. These articles in here are overlaid with gold. When you get closer to God, you get a little bit more valuable. Your life gets more valuable. When you get in here, this picture of the Holy Spirit, it showed light over here on the table of showbread. That showbread, there was to be 12 cakes of bread on that table at all times. But they were to be arranged in a particular order. They had to be arranged 6 and 6. It couldn't be 3, 4. They had to be 6 and 6. How many books in your Bible? 66. When they laid this out, God knew how many books were going to be in the finished canon of Scripture. And He said, when you put that table of showbread, a picture of the bread of God. What is the bread? The Bible is our bread, our sustainer of life. So He laid it out 66 in a fashion of 66, representing the completed canon of Scripture. Then this little golden altar of incense is a picture of prayer. So when we get closer to God, we get illumination from the Holy Spirit of God, Brother Nathan, what you was talking about, God revealing more to you. We get illumination from the Spirit of God showing us things, wonderful truths from the book of God. We're getting closer to God the closer we get inside of this thing. And we start praying and we say, God, please open my eyes. Show me wonderful truths out of thy law. Open my eyes, God, and show me something from your book. So the Holy Spirit begins shedding light on the Word of God that we're feasting over. And we pray and we commune with God before His mercy seat. You see how all of this stuff was laid out in the Word of God in a particular order. Brother Bobby, if you can find it, I want you to get me slide number 6 on the second email I sent you tonight. This whole thing was laid out. Here's the Eastern Gate. But it was laid out, the brazen altar, the brazen laver. You go inside, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the presence of God. And look how it's laid out. Laid out in a cross. Even in the Old Testament. Now get this. The Eastern Gate, the presence of God. What's dealt with right here? Sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed my transgressions from me. Just a little nugget from God's tabernacle. You see, whenever you see this stuff unfolded before you, it just makes the study of the tabernacle so much more interesting. When you see that this entire thing is pointing to the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the closer we get to God, the closer we're getting to the very presence of God. And what He really... Listen, this whole layout, this whole tabernacle is a picture of every one of you that are saved. Because we are called, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Which you have of God and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your members which are God and not yours. So this whole thing is a picture of you. Why did God save you? So He can have fellowship with you. So that He can dwell with you. So He can commune with you. What do we have on the inside? We have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and prayer. And we can commune with God any time of the day, anywhere. And listen, we all been made priests of God. You're a priest tonight. I know we're strange. I know we're odd. But we've been made the priesthood of God tonight. And you can drop on your knees any time of your day and talk to your Heavenly Father, all because of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Just to see it unfolded in the Word of God of how God has put all... You know, a lot of times we think, well, Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, they messed up and God said, oh no, what am I going to do now? God had every bit of this already lined up before Genesis 1:1. Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God, slain for the foundation of the world. Adam and Eve didn't mess up and then God started wringing His hands, drinking Maloth, saying, what am I going to do now? He already had Jesus Christ readied, even in the Old Testament. And when you understand that and see that unfolded, it just makes your Bible so much more real. when you look at it and say, there's Jesus. Let's all stand tonight.